The federal child care subsidy program, administered by the states, is designed to help low-income families pay for child care. Without that help, many parents, especially single parents, cannot afford to pay someone to watch their children while they go to work. WYPR's Rachel Bay reports that Maryland's child care subsidy has the lowest reimbursement rate in the country, and that's forcing some families to make tough decisions.
This is the one I'm in now.
37-year-old Tara Herbert enters a classroom at the Little Flowers Early Childhood and Development Center in West Baltimore, where she's a teacher. 5 1-year-olds sit around a small table while a movie plays nearby.
Yeah, they all sleepy. It's almost their lunchtime.
What you doing, Noah? Why you sleep wet? And when I
get angry. Herbert's been teaching here for 3 years, and she has 6 kids of her own. The tuition for her 1-year-old is the most expensive, at $205 a week. Most of that's covered by state child care subsidy vouchers, but she has an $80 copay.
If I stay home and take care of them, how am I going to take care of them if I'm not working? I don't have a choice but to send them to child care to pay the copay.
Crystal Hardy Flowers, the founder and director of Little Flowers, says about 80% of the families who send their children there receive child care vouchers, and that means a hit to her bottom line.
Our tuition for an infant is $205, but the child care subsidy only pays $187. So we just take the loss and we accept the child care subsidy amount. For our 2-year-olds is $141, but child care subsidy only pays $112. So we take the loss and we just take the $112.
The Federal Child Care and Development Block Grant pays for roughly half of Maryland's child care subsidy program. To qualify, states must set reimbursement rates based on local child care costs. Clinton McSherry is a director of public policy at the Maryland Family Network.
The federal government recommends that those reimbursement rates be pegged to the 75th percentile of the market, which is a statistical way of saying that parents should be able to, with this child care subsidy and with the copayment they're required to pay, they should be able to go to 75% of the child care providers in their community and get access.
But Maryland child care vouchers pay for roughly 10% of child care options in the state.
We are doing exactly what we're not supposed to do, and we are relegating those low-income families that are participating in the program to the cheapest and, by proxy, the poorest quality care in their communities.
To qualify for the subsidy, a family of three, typically a mom and 2 kids, must earn no more than $29,900 a year. Well, in theory.
So we've had a wait list in Maryland since 2011.
Even though a family of three earning $29,900 qualifies for the subsidy, the program only has enough money to pay for childcare for that same family if they earn $23,670 a year.
The total number of children served is roughly 13,700 kids. However, there are 4,343 kids on the wait list.
And many families also have a copayment. A new federal requirement says copayments should be no more than about 7% of a family's income. But according to a recent report by the National Women's Law Center, a family of three in Maryland living at the poverty level would pay 14% of their income. Hardy Flowers says that's more than many of the families at Little Flowers can bear, including teacher Tara Herbert.
So in Tara's case, she doesn't make much money. And the copay is too much for her, so we waive her copay.
Hardy Flowers says that even when families say they can pay the copay, the child care center may or may not actually see the money. Between the lost copays and the vouchers that don't cover the full tuition, Hardy Flowers estimates that her child care center loses about $100,000 a year. And that, in turn, affects how much she can pay teachers like Herbert, making Herbert more likely to rely on child care vouchers.
I mean, we are oftentimes in a deficit. We do have, you know, very caring landlords who wait and accept the money when we're able to pay it.
And she says she looks to the community for donations, used furniture, whatever they can spare. McSherry acknowledges that while it's easy to point out the program's flaws, solutions are a lot harder.
This is like the proverbial balloon. You know, if you squeeze it one place, it pops out another. In the absence of more funding, every action you might take to modify this program, it's going to have a reaction. So if, for example, you raise provider reimbursement rates, that probably means you're going to be able to serve fewer people.
A September report by the State Department of Education, which runs the child care subsidy program, found that setting reimbursement rates closer to the actual cost of child care without more funding would result in a complete freeze, putting virtually all subsidy recipients on a wait list for the foreseeable future. The department declined to comment for this story. Democrat Arianna Kelly represents part of Montgomery County in the House of Delegates. She says that when she was first elected in 2010, her mother told her that her one job was to protect the subsidy.
You know, my parents were teenagers. They had children while they were putting themselves through school. We didn't have a lot of resources, and it was this subsidy program back in the late 70s and 80s that allowed them to get out of poverty and get educated and build a middle-class life.
Kelly co-chairs the state legislature's Joint Committee on Children, Youth, and Families, which has been looking at issues surrounding child care for the last 2 years. The report released in September by the State Department of Education was the result of legislation Kelly sponsored. That law also requires the department to evaluate every 2 years whether to raise reimbursement rates. Kelly says the studies are a first step, but ultimately it comes down to budget.
What we have been able to determine is that Maryland does not contribute general fund revenues to this program, and the other states do. And in addition to that, Maryland redirects the federal block grant to other very important programs, so we're using less of it for child care subsidy than other states do.
I think we all agree that it's underfunding.
State Senator Addie Eckert, a Republican who represents part of the Eastern Shore, sits on the Joint Committee on Children, Youth, and Families.
But we also realize that the two-edged sword on this is that we have increased the cost of child care by increasing the expectations. And that's a big piece of this.
And if the state were to put in more money, McSherry of the Maryland Family Network suggests that just raising the reimbursement rate to the federally recommended level could cost upwards of $35 million. I'm Rachel Bay for 88.1 WYPR.